I'm Carrie Nolan. It's Monday, June 14th, and time for WQXR's Washington Report Online. David Sanger joins us now. He's the chief Washington correspondent for the New York Times. Good morning, David.
Good morning, Carrie.
David, President Obama is making his fourth visit to the Gulf Coast today, launching a week of activities intended to put pressure on BP. Tomorrow night, the president will make his first Oval Office address to the nation. Clearly, the president is responding to criticism that he hasn't acted decisively enough regarding the oil spill. But does he really have the power to do that?
Well, Carrie, this is going to be the week that we really test what the president's powers in this case are. This Oval Office speech is the first one he's ever given in his presidency. He didn't do it when he announced more troops to Afghanistan. He didn't do it when we were in the depths of the financial crisis last year. And he's going to use the somewhat austere background of that speech to try to force BP to put billions of dollars into escrow that would be administered by a third party, some panel or separate group that would make sure that money is going out to the residents of the Gulf. And I think this is the one area where the president thinks, if his authority allows him to, that he can demonstrate that he's forced the company to change its ways.
David, this spill has also created a lot of tension between the British and the U.S., kind of questioning our so-called special relationship. Much of Britain's population is heavily invested in the oil company due to pension funds. How are the U.S. and the British governments moving to smooth this over, and how much of this is spin on BP's end? Should the American public even really care how the spill affects British pension funds?
Boy, if you wanted an example of globalization in all of its modern forms, this is a terrific one. I mean, here we have a spill out in the middle of the Gulf of Mexico that may well affect the pension of a 70-year-old retiree living in Liverpool. Now, over the weekend, President Obama had his first lengthy conversation with Prime Minister Cameron, the new prime minister in Britain. And one of the interesting things here is that they don't have much of a relationship. Obviously, President Obama was dealing with Gordon Brown during most of his presidency. So far, the dispute over BP has not bled into that relationship as far as we can tell. But if, in fact, it looks like the company is pushed either to the edge of bankruptcy or is forced just to give up all of its dividends, then I think you could see a significant amount of tension.
Last week, U.S. pressure forced new U.N. sanctions on Iran because of its continued nuclear buildup. But there have been sanctions before, and they haven't worked. Is there a plan B or C or even D?
There is, and some of them are already in effect, and we wrote about some of this in the Times at the end of last week. You've already seen the United States begin to try to contain Iran's conventional power by putting anti-missile batteries around the Gulf. There are covert operations underway. They're left over from the Bush administration to try to undermine the nuclear program. There's been Project Brain Drain, which has been an effort to get Iranian scientists to leave the country. All of these together, the Obama administration hopes, will add to the pressure on those sanctions. But you're right, Kerry. Sanctions against Iran have never succeeded in the one goal by which they really have to be measured, which is whether it forces Iran to comply with the Security Council's mandate that they give up the enrichment of uranium. And while the White House will spin that there is unity created by these resolutions and the world is confronting Iran with a single voice, the fact of the matter is, if they're still enriching, the sanctions haven't worked.
Are there any other stories sort of bubbling under in Washington this week that you're going to be keeping an eye on?
Well, with the oil spill, we try not to use the word bubbling when we talk about stories that are coming along, but there are a few. The financial reform program, which seems to be the longest living piece of legislation in Congress, there's an effort to try to get this all resolved before July 4th. It's going to be interesting to see whether they can do that while other things are coming along. And you're going to see a new press by the administration to try to make some progress on the Israeli-Palestinian issue. The Israelis on Sunday night announced a independent investigation, or what they called an independent investigation, into the boarding of that ship that resulted in the deaths of 9 activists. It's interesting to see what the Israelis did. They are now allowing 2 outside non-Israeli experts to serve on the panel, and that's supposed to give it an extra bit of credence.
Thanks a lot, David.
Thank you, Carrie.
New York Times Chief Washington Correspondent David Sanger. I'm Carrie Nolan, and that's the Washington Report on New York's classical 105.9 FM WQXR.